Well, we're going to jump in here again. For those that may have come in a few minutes after worship, just had an impression. That's the best way I can say it. You know, sometimes when it says in the book of Luke, it seemed good. It seemed right. I have a peace about going in this direction. Sometimes, you know, you wait on the Lord to have peace about sharing something. And so I have a peace about sharing this particular topic about life in the Spirit. Or we could say walking in the Spirit. And you know, there's a scripture in Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn over there for a moment. Galatians chapter 5. Maybe I'll just start here. In verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not," what? "Fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. The New Living Translation says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." You know, all of us, this body hasn't been redeemed. Sometimes there's cravings, right? Well, the Holy Ghost has come. The greater one has come inside us to do what? Stand up against these cravings. To do what? Empower us. To say what? No. He's empowered us. This flesh and this mind, it may want something or do something. But he's in us. And he empowers us now to do his will. Right? And the Passion Translation of this, it says, see, this is why when we talk about, I like this in the Passion Translation, this makes it a little clearer, even more clear. It says, "As you yield freely," you got to yield. You've got to say, "No, I'm not going to do that. I need your help. This craving is strong, but I need your help." It says, "As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit." That's life in the Spirit. "You will abandon the cravings of your self-life." See, if you don't yield, what does it say in Romans chapter 8? It says, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is" what? "Life and peace." So the power of the Holy Ghost is in us to help us combat cravings, carnal and fleshly cravings. You can't do it by yourself. He already knew that. That's why he said it's better that I go away, so that I can send you another helper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now here, this kind of maybe sets the stage. Let's look at verse 25. We're in that chapter. In verse 25, it says what? "If we live in the Spirit, let us also" what? "Walk." So life in the Spirit is what? Walking in the Spirit. It's walking in the Spirit. It's yielding to him. See, a lot of people making it real spooky. It's not spooky. You just got to yield. You just got to yield. You just got to say, "Help me. Help me, Holy Ghost." And yield to him. And what does it say? He will freely and fully, he'll help us with these natural cravings. And in the New Living Translation for this, verse 25. It says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in what? Every part of our lives. Every part. That means when we sit down and want to munch on something. And he said, don't eat that. And you go, but I want to eat that. Now, I'm stepping on anybody's toes, but, you know, you need help in this area. Some of us say, I got to eat that. Well, no, you don't. And then what does it say in the living translation? I'm sorry, the Passion translation. It says, we must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after him. See, this is living in the Spirit. This is life in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. It's not being spooky. You know, some people think, ooh, no, it's not being spooky. You're going around your life every day. You're busy. You've got activities, but it's being what? Aware of who's inside you and yielding to him. That's all it is. It's not difficult. It's being aware. It's praying in the Holy Ghost as you go about your day. It's keeping your mind. You know, our minds are busy with natural activities, but it's being aware that the greater one's in here. It's not being so busy that I don't know who's in me. You know, I always use this example because it helps. When a woman is pregnant, she's busy, but she's aware that there's a life inside of her. She's not going around going, whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-doo. No, she is aware there is a life in her. And to us, we've got the greater one living in us. We need to be what? Aware. We're busy with life. But don't be so busy that you don't yield to him. You're not aware of who's in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're getting to the place in society and life where there's complexities. And you don't know who you're dealing with and what you're dealing with, but the Holy Ghost knows. He may say, don't go over there. Don't do that. Don't go into that building. I remember years ago when the Nanuet Mall was here, the old one, before they tore it down and redid it, and it was enclosed. I was taking public transportation. And I remember I would go over and wait for the bus, and I remember just, you know, kind of just poking around, waiting and window shopping. You know, just walking around and go from store to store. I know the Holy Ghost voice. I know that still small voice. I know him. And I walked into this store, and I walked in, and I'm just kind of looking at the shelves, and the Holy Ghost said, leave this store immediately. You know what I did? I turned around and left the store immediately. Because when he spoke it to me, I looked up, and it was a store called East Meets West. I have no idea. I just was in their shop, and I said, oh, this looks cool. Let me walk in. And I'm walking in, and they had all kinds of different clothes, but then I saw all, when I looked up, I said, what do they got this stuff in here for? It was all gargoyles and, you know, demonic-looking stuff. And the Holy Ghost spoke, and he said, leave this store right now. We need to be aware that we're not so busy, we're cruising through life and walking into things and exposing ourselves to things. When he says, turn the TV off, turn it off. When he said, don't look at this, don't look at this. When he says, don't read this, don't read it. When he says, don't listen to this, don't listen to this. Because there's demonic activity that's about, and we need the help of the greater one. Yes, they're defeated, but you can expose yourself to something that you're unaware of. He's here to do what? Help us. This is living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't know why I got off on that, but anyways, it'll help us. So again, God doesn't do anything without a purpose. And so he sent his son, just back up and just kind of set the stage for this. He sent his son, Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, you know, in the King James, it says he sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. But when we look at, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Those that have accepted Christ, he's redeemed us, he's purchased us, but he's also raised us and seated us with him in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. And John, I'm just going to read this before we do, but John, I like this particular scripture. You know, we always read John 10:10. But let's look at John 10:14. In the Passion Translation, you look at it in whatever translation you have. But this is why, I mean, we need to recognize and we know him. He said, I alone am the good shepherd and know those whose hearts are mine. Is your heart his? Then he knows you. And it says, for they recognize me and know me. So then I'll ever go through life saying, I don't really recognize him, I don't know him. You know him. You may need to learn more of his ways, but you know him. You know, from the very day I got born again, I'm not anyone special in the sense of I'm the righteousness of God in Christ just like you. But from the moment I got born again, I began to recognize that someone was inside me. I remember the very day I got born again, I began to recognize that something changed. There was a stirring on the inside. There was a knowing that someone had come into me, the Holy Ghost. And I began to learn and recognize his voice and his ways. And we all have that same testimony in here. Every single one of us know him and recognize him. Now, does that mean we can recognize him in a greater way? Absolutely. Can we know him in a greater way? Absolutely. Anybody who's been married for any length of time, do you know your spouse in a greater way than you did when you first got married? Absolutely. And so those same natural principles and spiritual principles apply. As you spend more time with him, you will recognize him more and his ways, and you'll know him. This is life in the Spirit. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I'm going to read from the King James, and I'm going to just give them a moment to get that get these up on the screen. But I wanted to look at verses 17 through 23, and then looking into chapter 2. It says in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he what wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head, what? Over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now let's start in verse 4. And actually, let's read this in the New Living Translation. And I'll just give them a moment to get this up, starting in verse 4 through 8 in chapter 2. It says, but God, who is what? So rich in mercy, and he what? Loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us what? Life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. Verse 6. For he what? Raised us from the dead, who, along with Christ, and did what? Seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of this incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It is the gift from God. So what are we saying? God had a purpose. He redeemed mankind, but he also raised us from the dead with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ. Let me read this. This is from this book that I'm reading or we're referencing. And I really desire, if you can get this book, it's a cup of coffee. This will do you better. I'm reading from this, The Authority of the Believer. It's on page 9. It's called The Location of Authority. It says, the elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers, potentially for the present, of the authority which he is his. They are made to sit with him. That's me and you. That is, they share his throne. Now listen to this. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise to the extent of their spiritual apprehension. See, you are not going to exercise something beyond your knowing, your apprehension of something. So it says, to the extent of their spiritual apprehension, authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. God's plan is to have his body exercise and to do what? Enforce what's already done, which is they've been defeated. They're reigning, it says, the God of this world, who does what? Blinds the minds of those that are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in, 2 Corinthians 4:4. So the body is to do what? Pull down these strongholds that are blinding the minds of people to the goodness of God. And the devil is manipulating things like a puppet master and manipulating the minds and hearts of those who do what? Yield to him. But just like we said, walking in the Spirit is yielding to the Holy Ghost so he can work God's plan through us. That's what he desires. He desires that we do what? Remove these or pull down these principalities and powers that are ruling and reigning and creating mess in this earth. That's why the devil doesn't want unity. He wants us to bicker amongst each other and take sides in circumstances. I'm for this group. I'm for this group. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like the president. I don't like this. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm a Baptist. It's all meant to divide. And it's all being manipulated by these principalities and powers, which God wants the body to do what? Take authority over it and say, no, you're not doing that here. You're not doing that in my city. You're not doing that in my home. Who in their right mind can think that abortion is godly? Who can think in their right mind that killing a baby is right? But the devil has blinded the minds of people to think, well, it's my choice. Really? It's a human being. It's a life that's been sparked by God. But people take sides, even in the church. I'm for this group, I'm for this group. It's all meant to divide. He does not want unity. He doesn't want unity. He doesn't want us to walk in the Spirit. Because when we agree, there's power. There's power. There's power in agreement. And so, I'm trying to get this out in English language in a way that we can get a hold of the fact that God saved us for a purpose. the body is here in this earth to enforce what he's already done. And the devil is blinding the minds of people. And if we don't feed upon and meditate upon the word of God, we can take hold of some of these worldly thoughts and open ourselves up to these devilish manipulations. I'm not saying you are, but if it's not godly, it's devilish. If it's not in the Word of God, it's not from God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. This is the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, the New Living Translation. And this again, this is Paul speaking. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. He's saying, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to who? All the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. We've been given his name. We are seated with him in heavenly places. We are sharers with Christ of his authority. So when we speak the name of Jesus, demons must respond. Sickness must respond. Circumstances must respond. I'm going to read a little more reference from this book here, The Authority of the Believer. This is called on page 15, it's called The Extent of This Authority. It says, as we meditate on the completeness of his authority, let us remember that he is there as the representative of redeemed humanity. And may the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, this Ephesians 1:18, by the Holy Spirit, so that we may believe without any doubt or shrinking that the wisdom and will of the Father have made us sharers of this same authority, and that he verily intends that we should exercise it day by day in growing comprehension and apprehension. He desires, that's why the Ephesians prayer, that we pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened so that we would know what is the hope of our calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We're to pray that. Speak that over ourselves, because as we grow in our comprehension and apprehension, we will begin to do what? Walk in a greater measure of walking in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. Taking authority. Not tolerating stuff in our lives. Because Jesus said in Mark 11:23, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now this here continues. It's another caption in here on page 21. It says, the failure of the church. It says, why then is there not more manifest progress? You know, let's say you were coaching people, you were a mentor, and you're mentoring people or coaching people, and you're not seeing progress, wouldn't you step back and go, how come I ain't seeing the progress? Or you might be a boss and you're going, you're doing everything you know to do. You've given them everything, all the tools, and you're going, but I'm showing them what to do. Why aren't I seeing the progress? So it says here, why then is there not more manifest progress? Listen to this. Because a head is wholly dependent upon its body for the carrying out of its plan. All the members of its body must be subservient, that through their coordinated ministry may accomplish what is purposed. What does it say? The Lord Jesus is the head over all things to the church, which is his body, which has hindered his mighty plans and working because his body has failed to appreciate the deep meaning of his exaltation and to respond to the gracious impulses which he is constantly sending. That goes for all of us. I include myself. Because we can grow through the revelation of the Word and our apprehension of the Word and our seeing of things that need to change. See, but when we don't have an apprehension of something, we just kind of say, hey, it's a good day, cruising through. We don't appreciate the significance of his exaltation, because his exaltation means mine. I'm a sharer with him in his authority. That means we don't have to tolerate what's going on here in the earth. When I stepped back and I began to see, when Apostle Mike came in here and he's sharing with us and speaking to us and releasing and saying, God wants to work in and through this group, this ministry, to do what? Pull down strongholds in this area. Use us to change the area and the significance of what things are going on. How many in here want to see a change? I do. How many are satisfied with seeing that New York State allows abortion right up to the point of birth? We ought to say, no, that's not acceptable. We will not stand for that, and we're not against politicians. Don't get it misconstrued. We're against the devil. We hate evil. And he is manipulating people to put laws in place that make it so it don't go well for us. That's what we're talking about. Walking in the Spirit and taking authority over principalities and powers that will what? Back up and let go. And then what happens? The people that are in authority probably go, What am I doing? What's going on? See, you can't change their will. God won't change your will. But influences can be removed where you can see clearer and make better choices. You know, I remember when we first started going to Pennsylvania. I remember I was up on the stage, I was getting ready to teach, and we were worshiping the Lord, and I heard right down here, still small voice, he said, "As you come here and worship me, I will push back the darkness that's held sway in this area." I heard his voice. And that's no different than down here. As we come and worship him, as we begin to appreciate him, and we recognize who we serve and who's the head, and we yield to him and worship him, he will begin to work through us and push back the darkness. How? Through us in the name of Jesus. And darkness has held sway too long. And it's because the church has slept. But I believe it's rising up and waking up. Hallelujah. So here's a little more. I know we're going a little longer, but it's just good. This is continuing on that same page in 22. It says, "The Word of God," I'm reading from this book, The Authority of the Believer, by John A. McMillan. "The Word of God is the pattern by which the ministry of the church is framed. The glory of the body of Christ is the fact that its members are living members, each with a personal will." But listen to this. "The Holy Spirit comes into these individual members in order to bring them into unity with the will and purposes of the head. The Holy Ghost has come into us to reveal to us the will of God, so that we come into unity with his will and purpose." That's what the Holy Ghost is here for, to help us. Can two walk together unless they agree? No. You know, just think about where we talk about agreement and unity. There's so much to share, but let me just jump over here and read for a second here. I'll get there. See, God has put in the body certain offices, right? He put in the body offices and apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But he put them in there for the preparation of the ministry of the body of Christ until we all come into unity. You know that word unity, if you look it up, some translations, the Passion says, oneness. So when we're in unity, we're in oneness. You know, it made me think of another scripture in John 15. When we abide in the vine, when we abide in him, it says we can't do anything without him. That means we're in unity, we're in agreement, we are in oneness with him. And the devil doesn't want the body of Christ to be in oneness. Because when there is, there's power, and there's his glory is manifested. You see. And so we need to just remind ourselves, I'm going to pick up Wednesday because there's just, there's so much. There's so much to meditate upon. But living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit is first and foremost, we have to recognize that we've got the greater one living inside of us. We are the body of Christ. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And we are sharers of the authority that Jesus has been given for the church. It's for the body. And so for me, God is looking for the church. It don't matter. He could get 10. He could get 2. As long as they agree and walk in agreement, they can change some things. Also, you know, if we're not in agreement, just think about it. If we are not in agreement with God's purposes, then it doesn't work, does it? The things that God wants to do can't be done. I mean, obviously, right? So we need to be what? In agreement, in unity with God's purpose. And so that's why when it says, if you live in the Spirit, you need to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, let me just close with this. I know there's so much more to share, but oh my goodness, so much. Let's look at Psalm 133. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. You ever think about this? We are made in the image and likeness of God. There are three in heaven. Yes, there's Jesus, but there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He sent him here. But they are in agreement. And so we ought to be. How would it be if you're, just think about it. When you, I mean, just a simple example, just come to my mind. How would it look if you are tripart? That means you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. How would that look if you weren't in agreement in some of those parts? It would be a mess. What if your body wants to go somewhere and your mind goes, no, I ain't going? See, but in order to fulfill something, in order for you to do anything, your soul and your heart and your body has to be in agreement. And God, the head, wants to do something. But if the body is not yielding, is not subservient, he can't do anything. He's hindered. Everybody understand that? So it's not just coming to church on Sunday, is it? It ain't just coming to church, parking, say, I did my due, I went to church on Sunday. But then I'm forgetting about who he is the rest of the week and who I am. That's not good enough. That's not good enough anymore. Psalm 133 in the Passion Translation. these three verses. It says, a song to bring you higher by King David. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony, heavenly unity, can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forever. So God needs unity and harmony to do what? That the blessings and the glory can be manifested in wherever the church is in harmony. He's hindered sometimes in the fact that we're not in harmony with the head. You see. So how do we do that? Well, we'll find out on Wednesday. You can tune in and watch on Wednesday. Because I tell you, this is something that we can prepare our hearts for these upcoming conference meetings of life in the Spirit. Because even preparing for that, we want to come against any hindrance that would hinder us from knowing and apprehending in a greater way. The eyes of our understanding would be enlightened that we would know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in me. When I comprehend that in a greater way, my faith is growing. My faith is released in a greater way. See, if you don't comprehend that you're even in a fight, or that you're even dealing, if you're thinking you're dealing with people, it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. So God is desiring that the body of Christ see it like he sees it. That we walk in the love of God. We walk in the unity. We may, you know, it never said we're all going to be flowing in the same stream. You know, there might be people that are Catholics and Baptists and Presbyterians and Pentecostals and whatever. They might come from different streams, but he wants us to walk in the love of God and in unity. Find a place. Who is it? We can all be in unity with Jesus and his purpose and his purposes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today that we purpose to walk in the unity and walk in the Spirit, walk in the love of God. And we thank you, Father, that our comprehension is growing. The eyes of our understanding are being enlightened, and we thank you for it, Father, and we claim this area that we live in for the kingdom of God. We claim this United States for Jesus, for righteousness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when I just think about And I'm sure you've all had these experiences. But I remember one in particular where I was sharing the gospel about being saved. And this couple said, could we change the subject? I don't want to hear that anymore. And I said, sure, no problem. We'll talk about baseball. I don't care. Talk about the weather. I'm not there to offend you. And they were hurting. They needed help. They called me there to help them. Yeah, they called them because they knew I could help them naturally. So I'm there to help them a little more in that area, but they didn't want to hear it. So I said, okay, no problem. I'll still help you naturally. And so for 2 weeks, I was going to see them in another couple of weeks. In that two-week interim, I began to take authority over the devil. I wasn't trying to come up with a sermon and try to, you know, share something that was clever or devised. I used the name of Jesus, and I said, you stop blinding them in the name of Jesus to the truth of the gospel, and I bind you and forbid you to blind them any longer in Jesus' name. And I did that for a couple of weeks, praying for them. When I went back, it was like a different couple. They said, could you tell us more? Could you tell us more? Please share more. Please share more. They ended up becoming saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Now, if I had just turned a blind eye or given up or not exercised my authority, where would they be? Lost. So God has given us authority and dominion. We are sharers with Him. So when we run into people who are blinded and being manipulated, hey, we've got the answer. We can't make them decide for Christ, but we can certainly remove the influence. We can remove that influence that's blinding them to the truth. In Jesus' name. And that goes at whatever we're dealing with. We may not have access or deal intimately with the politics of this local area or the politics of Albany or the politics or wherever, right? But we have the name of Jesus. And we can take authority over those spirits that are blinding men and women that make laws that are not godly. And we say no. No. No to that. In Jesus' name. That's God's purpose and plan, is that the body would rise up and use the authority that it's been given. In Jesus' name. Well, if you're here today and maybe you're watching online and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, this is an opportunity for you. Most, I'm sure, here are saved, born again. But this is an opportunity that we extend, and we never dismiss or leave a service without extending that opportunity. And again, what does the scripture say? That we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? He's Lord. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He's Lord. And believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. It says if we do that, we'll be saved. And so let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you are the one who sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that Jesus is the Savior. He is Lord. And I confess that with my mouth. And I believe that He took my sins and sicknesses to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead, and I now receive him as my Savior. I call him Lord, and I thank you that you have now cleansed me with the blood of Jesus. My spirit is received eternal life, and I am saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, a profession of faith in the Lordship of Jesus, just let us know and we'll give you some free information. If you happen to be watching online, just get in touch with us and we'll send that information to you in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Well, again, I think that's it for right now. And I trust this was something that's stirring in my heart, and I believe as we meditate upon it a little more, the significance of it will register. You know, you may, it's different. It's not just knowing something and quoting it, but it's knowing who you are in Christ. When you know something, you act upon it. This is what, when it says, let's turn over to Ephesians again. I know we're finished, but let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. We'll read it from the King James. See, it's always going to be, what do you believe with your heart? What does it say? And what is the exceeding greatness of what? His power to usward who what? Believe. According to the working of his mighty power. So it's always believing. It says here, I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. It says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you. How? Through faith. You've got to believe. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of the highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, some folks might say, well, that's, I just don't understand that. I don't comprehend that. That's why we're taking the time that we can share it, meditate upon it, and begin to meditate on the fact that you are seated with him in heavenly places. And that exceeding, immeasurable power, that dunamis power, is released in you by faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God.